Welcome back to the Seminole Wrap Podcast. We continue moving closer to the start of the FSU football season. We're taping here on Sunday night, so we are now, 17 days away from the start of the year. I'm sure that excitement's starting to build for you too, as it's building for us. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Brian Peller in here with Max Escarpio, like always. John, unfortunately, out as we let the old guy rest up before the season. I'm just going to call it our veteran week off again. I guess if he just keeps doing it, maybe he won't show up, but we'll find out. Regardless, we kind of got the best of both worlds anyway, as we've got a two-time Super Bowl champ, former FSU star, TV personality at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, and the host of All Things Covered podcast, Brian McFadden. Brian, super excited you could be here with us, man.
Man, thank you for allowing me to join your platform. I'm excited.
Yeah, of course. And I just listed off all your credentials, which are awesome to begin with. I mentioned your ventures into the NIL and NFT space. We'll get to that in a bit as you're kind of on the forefront of that digital venture, I guess. But I do want to start with Florida State and specifically this team, since we're getting so close to the year. You got to be a guest captain this spring in the Garnet Gold game. I guess I want to start there. Just it looked like a lot of fun. What was that experience like for you?
Yo, I enjoyed myself. if Coach Novell, if he wants to invite me next year to do the whole thing, I'm down for it. I really enjoyed myself. Football has always been near and dear to me. Just being able to interact with the players is one thing, but being able to call the plays is a totally different thing. You know what I mean? I do it all the time when I play Madden, but you know, Madden and real football is night and day. But I really enjoyed it. And they splashed us, me and EJ Manuel with the winning Powerade. That was surprising because it was a little nippy outside that day, and I got drenched, but it was all fun. I really enjoyed it. I like the mindset of Coach Novell and the university trying to implement some of the past players with the current group of guys. It was an outstanding weekend. If you guys are not able to participate in the spring activities leading up to the spring game last year, make sure you do so this year, man. It's a great way to come back to Tallahassee and meet a lot of old familiar faces, and along with new people as well.
You mentioned you got the call plays. Did you and EJ split it, offense, defense, or he let you get some offensive plays in?
No. Let me do what I've been called to do, which is defense, defense, defense. Yeah, he had the offensive side. I had the defensive side, and we won. Our team won.
But that's, yeah, I'll let Max take it. But that's all that matters, right? He got the bath.
No question. And the theme was the 2000 Seminoles versus the 90 Seminoles. So myself and EJ paired up. We went against Peter Boulware and Danny Cannell, and the 2000 Seminoles came out on top.
Go ahead, Max. What was it like being able to talk to them and making sure that you guys were the ones on top?
Oh, man, you know, we're competitors. We compete. even though it was fun, it was more fun than anything, but we wanted to go out and win. And now we have sole bragging rights for the first annual, you know, I guess, old players caught coaching the spring game. I think that was the first time ever, I guess. I don't know exactly the name of it, but, you know, we won the first inaugural opportunity. So it's always a plus. But yeah, when we jumped on the sideline, me and EJ went into game mode. Like, we're not playing, but we're coaching, and our job is to try to win. And we did. We went out and was able to accomplish that.
Well, so when you're coaching them, did they look at you as an old guy? Did you get the reverence? Did you feel old, or you know, how did that go for you?
I don't know how they actually looked at me, but I don't feel like I'm an old coach. I feel like if I was coaching, I'm going to be swagged out. You know what I mean? I'm going to make sure my drip is looking like I was supposed to look. You know what I'm saying? I might have some ice inside my shirt. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I am older, but I don't look at myself to be old. I like, you know, cause people tell me, you know, I'm 40 years old, but when people be like, oh, Mac, you 40. I'm like, no, I'm not 40. But then I'm like, hey, I am 40. Like, wow.
But you still got the energy where you could still go.
Oh, no question. Not play a game of football, but be energetic, to be positive and do what I'm supposed to do. No question. That's not going anywhere.
Did you have any interactions with any of the guys that stuck out cutting up with them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The one thing I would like to highlight, the Friday leading up to Saturday's ball game, all the players that were in town, the older guys, we had opportunity to watch practice on Friday. We did a seminal walk where we walked the length of the football field inside of Doak Campbell. We got a chance to introduce ourselves to the current group of guys. And that was awesome. That was awesome. They got a chance to ask us questions. We actually had dinner with them that same night in the Champions Club in the stadium. Oh, man. So that entire weekend, like that Friday was magnificent. So, yeah, we got a chance to interact quite a bit. We exchanged numbers and just we told our story. They told their story. And it's a great way to kind of unite different generations of Seminoles. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that's important when you're trying to establish a family like atmosphere.
And being able to coach them, being able to like be a coordinator, cost them the place. Who stood out to you in those in that defensive standpoint? We saw like Sam McCall had a good game. Who stood out to you when you were playing there?
Yeah, man, Sam McCall had a real good game. He had a real productive spring as well. You know, newly incoming freshman, a guy that, you know, came to school early. And being able to make that adjustment is huge. Thomas as well, the other corner, true freshman corner. I think our secondary is going to be in good hands for the next few years, to say the least. If these guys stay the course and stay healthy, most importantly, we're going to have some potential NFL guys in that secondary when it comes to the new group. And then, of course, we have some current guys there. Jamie Robinson, I think he's going to have a huge year. He stood out to me. I think he's going to have a huge year. A guy that will be playing on Sunday. Akeem Dent, I think this is going to be a huge year for him. You know, he's bounced around from different positions, and that's very, very difficult sometimes when you're not able just to solely focus in on one thing. When they have so many different things thrown at you, you don't really get a chance to be as comfortable as you would like. But now he understands what's expected of him, and I think he's going to fly through the roof. I think he's going to fly through the roof. Fabian Lovett, another leader on the defensive front. He's going to be awesome. You know who I really was surprised to see when I watched during Friday practice and then the game on Saturday was Trey Benson, the running back, transfer from Oregon.
Yeah.
Number one, he looks the part. I mean, listen, you know, running backs, when I played at Florida State, I played around guys like Greg Jones. You know what I mean? Like when you saw them, you're like, oh, shoot. Well, you better buckle up your chin strap and make sure you got your mouthpiece in. Trey got a little bit of that going on with him. I mean, his lower half is extremely heavy and strong, and you can tell. And he ran extremely well when I watched him during Friday practice. And, of course, during the spring game, remember the spring game, he had some positive things. He had some positive runs. So he was very, very impressive. And I heard he wasn't, you know, he had some, I think, a leg injury. So he was just starting to get over that hurdle. But he looked real good. I'm here. He's still looking good in summer camp as well. So he was another guy that really impressed me.
Yeah, leading up to it, we were seeing him in spring camp, and we didn't like really see anything flash because of the injury. But when he had that game, I think he had something like 77 yards out of nowhere, and the yards per carry that he would get. So even the media and all the fans weren't expecting that, but it's great to see. And we talked about the running back room, how heavy and how stacked it's going to be with other players like Trayshawn Ward and players like CJ Campbell, who was a walk-on before, but he's been doing well too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the running backs a year ago did exceptionally well, offensive line wise, paving the way for those guys. And I think this running back group, I think, might be more talented than what we had a year ago. And that's saying a lot because, you know, we lost Joshua Corbin. But when you factor in, you know, bringing in Trey Benson and some of the other guys that you mentioned, man, they're going to have a lot of fun, to say the least.
Yeah, and you look at it, probably the most fun running back in the whole group, and he's not even the running back. It's Jordan Travis. He's just so electric, so fast, and it seems like he's growing as a passer. What were you able to see out there from watching him play in the spring game?
Leadership qualities. He's starting to take on that role as a leader. I tell people this all the time, like it or not, the quarterback position is a leadership position.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play that position, you have to be willing to embrace the leadership element that comes with that said position. And he's becoming more vocal, right? And I like that. But also, too, with that, you need to take another step further and lead by example. And he's starting to he showcased some of those things during spring. And I'm hearing the same thing in regards to summer camp. So that's impressive to see. He's not shying away from that extra piece that comes with playing the quarterback position. He's actually walking to it. He's running into the hot kitchen. And you got to be willing to do that. Because you're going to have to be able to display that mindset in the heat of the moment on Saturdays, Thursdays, or whenever it is you're playing, where people will be, they're going to look to you for some type of encouragement, some type of motivational words to get guys going. And you got to be willing to do that while taking care of your business as well.
And he's probably the face of the program at this point for the team. And I guess having not been in a locker room, and obviously you have, so lean on your expertise. Last year, he kind of had to battle for the position with Mackenzie Milton, and it was back and forth. How important is it to just know you're that guy?
Well, I think you understand you have room for error when you're that guy. You're not looking over your shoulder. If you had a bad practice, well, will I be running with the ones next week or tomorrow? Yeah. Will I be splitting time? You know, if you have, it happens. You might have a bad performance one day in practice, but when you know you're the guy, I got an opportunity to correct my wrongs the next day without looking over my shoulder. So that is a piece of clarity that one player can have when they know they're the guy. And he's earned that right based on the experience and based on some of the good things that he's been able to do. What I would like to see, what I want to see from Jordan Travis is a sense of consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the guys that play on Sundays. Consistent guys. Think about some of the outstanding quarterbacks that we've seen in college football over the last 5, 6, 7 years. It didn't matter who you were playing against. You knew what you were going to get from that player. College football is about two things. If you want to win, if you want to look at a winning team in college football, look at two things, coaching and quarterback play. If you have those two things, you're going to win ball games. You're going to be successful. You're going to be relevant. And if you don't have that above average quarterback play, you better have superior like players everywhere else on the roster, along with coaching, a la Georgia.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett is not a quarterback that's probably going to have an outstanding professional career. He probably get a shot. But do we see him being a guy that could be a potential starter early in his professional career in the NFL? Not right now, but a lot can happen when it comes to changing that trajectory. But he did what he was supposed to do. They had outstanding coaching. They had superior players everywhere else.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the superior players everywhere else on the roster, better have good quarterback play, better have good coaching. That's the thing that's needed. And for us, it's time for Jordan Travis to take that step because we all have seen outstanding throws. Look at the throw against Notre Dame when he hit, I think it was Douglas down the sideline, right? Hit him in stride, if I'm not mistaken. Look at the fourth down dig route against Miami.
Yeah.
That led to a potential game-winning touchdown. And those are pro-like throws. Those are things, when you show us a glimpse of that here or there, now we need to see that all the time because we know you have it. We know you have it. Remember, for such a long time, early in his career, the issue with Jordan was accuracy. Throwing the football, a natural thrower of the football. Those were concerns with him. He's starting to kind of move away from that narrative, but we need to see that consistent flow. Because when you're consistent at the quarterback level in college football, you're going to play on Sunday. And if you got a quarterback in college football that's going to play on Sunday, you're going to win ball games. Prime example, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Freaking Pittsburgh. Think about it. Think about it. Look at Wake Forest, Sam Hartman, right? Wake Forest. Trust me, college football is about two things. When you watch college football, monitor the quarterback situation and monitor the coach. That'll tell you all you need to know about that said team.
Do you think this season will answer that question of, is that the right quarterback and is that the right coach, or them two together?
That's a good question. When you talk about that relationship between Norvell and Jordan Travis, I think it will answer a lot. Number one, for me, with the experience that Jordan Travis has, it's his time.
Yeah.
It's his time. You know, it's not like he's a guy who just got to campus or he was there last year. He's been there for some years now. You know, he's been through two different coaches, you know, Willie Taggart and now Norvell, but now it's his time. So this for us is a crucial year, critical year, in my opinion, because everything, all the key components to our team has been there for quite some time. Norvell's going in his third year, right? He's been on campus for 3 years. Jordan Travis has been there, what, 4 years or 5 years? If I'm not mistaken. Four. It's time for them to be able to coexist. So to answer your question, yeah, I think this will tell us a lot about Coach Norvell and his vision of the program and where we're going. And Jordan Travis, can he be the guy for us?
Well, then I wonder what's a fair expectation. We've kicked it around a lot around here saying, you know, as the team kind of and program is coming back up, it was, but they lost a lot last year. They kind of lost a little, and you'd hope this year it almost flips to the win a little. I don't think they're ready to win a lot, But, you know, I guess what is a fair expectation for this team? Obviously, it seems like it's a bowl game or bust kind of situation.
I mean, the bare minimum.
Right. Oh,
you can win six ball games by accident and get into a bowl, right?
Probably so we won
five games last year. Total disappointment.
Yeah.
Realistically speaking, if we can win 7 or 8 games, I think we're going in a different direction than what we've seen in years past. I know some people saying, well, ACC championship, ACC appearance, those things would be great. They would be great. I would love to see that. But let's understand the reality of the situation. A year ago, we didn't make the bowl, didn't make a bowl. So don't just jump past the bowl to automatically get into the ACC championship game. Now, it can happen. Look at the NFL with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right? Cincinnati was horrible. They were last the year before in their division, and they finished first last year in 2021. In 2020, they were dead last, right? But a lot of things happened in place for them to be able to do that. Number one, outstanding quarterback play. You know what I mean? And everything else kind of followed suit with that. So realistically, I think if we can get 7 or 8 games, I think that's a plus, in my opinion. In my opinion, 7 or 8 games is a plus. Beating Miami, and if you beat Miami and beat Florida, wow. Now we're really ecstatic about what's going to happen in the near future. But yeah, if we can get 7 to 8 ball games and beat those two teams, I think we're going in the right direction. But clearly, you can't have another postseason with Florida State not being involved in the bowl game. That can't happen.
Yeah. Go ahead, Max.
And aside from those realistic wins, maybe Miami or maybe Gators or maybe the realistic approach of we have to win 7 or 8 games, what other realistic things like Jordan Travis has to lead them to a win against LSU? Maybe the offensive line obviously has to improve. The receivers have to improve. What other realistic teams has to happen in order to get those 8 wins?
I think our season starts week 2. I know we have Duquesne week 1, but come on, let's keep it real. That's no more Jacksonville State foolishness happening. All right, please. Let's our season starts week 2 on a national stage. Mike Tomlin used to tell us all the time, you know, when you play on a national stage, it's your job to send a message because everyone's watching. Send a message to the football world that we got something to say. And if you don't hear us, you're going to feel us. That has to be the mindset. Back in the day, you know, when I was playing for Pittsburgh, and I don't want to say back in the day make me feel old, but we used to always say in our locker room, in our building, it's a 5-star matchup because we're in it. It's not about who we're playing. It's because the freaking Steelers, they're in this matchup. People are coming to see us. And we took on that. It was like we were a show. Like you go to a concert, you go to a show, people come to see that said individual, said people. That's how we felt. And we got to give them a show. We ain't coming here to lay down. We come to give you guys your money's worth. And if you're cheering for us, you come in cheering for us, you're going to leave cheering for us. If you came in hating us, you're going to hate us even more when you leave because we're going to kick your team in the mouth. So week 2, it's a home game for LSU, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. The home of the Sugar Bowl on a national stage. Nobody else is playing. All the eyes is going to be on Florida State. Give them a show. Send a message. That's a message game, period. We're here to let everyone know this is a different team with a different mindset, and it starts with LSU. So in my opinion, LSU week 2 is going to tell us all we need to know about Florida State. All we need to know about Florida State. Think about this. Played against Notre Dame week 1 last year in Dope. Unbelievable atmosphere, right? Fought, got down, fought back in the ball game, but somehow couldn't finish the drill. Week 1 last year told me Florida State, they're not there yet. Because we found a way to lose that ball game. We should have won that ball game. Dick LeBeau used to tell us all the time in Pittsburgh, right? Bad teams will find a way to lose a game. They will find a way. And you look at some of the horrible losses from a year ago, we found a way to lose. Heck, even the Florida game, right? Yeah. We should have won that ball game. but we found a way to lose. So what we saw in week one against Notre Dame followed us the entire season. That's why we only had five games, because we found a way to lose. If we found a way to win that ball game, trust me, the entire season a year ago would have been totally different. So that's why I say week two is when our season starts. That game is going to have the same mindset as Notre Dame a year ago for me as a fan watching. I will have the same mindset. It's going to tell us all we need to know, right? If Jordan Travis come out and ball out against LSU, that's all we need to know. Now we know what to expect. We find a way to win that ball game against LSU. Think about this. All of us going to have a different mindset. All of us. Instead of losing to LSU, be like, oh boy, here we go again. We ain't quite ready yet. We ain't there yet. We beat LSU. Oh yeah, we ready. Now we cooking with gas. Gas stoves are the best stoves to cook on. We beat LSU, we cooking with gas. So that's where I'm at. Week two is when our season starts. That is the best trailer for a movie. Because when you watch that movie trailer, you know what the entire movie is going to look like.
Yeah, and obviously we can't predict the scores. We can't predict who's going to go off that game or who's just going to have the first touchdown or anything. But what do you think needs to happen in that game in the first quarter to kick it off and make sure that Florida stays on top or make sure that...
Yeah, is there a momentum factor, I guess? People talk about paying up maybe too high for a big game. You know, is that a thing? Do you feel that's a thing?
Repeat that again. Is
there... like having too much energy? Like Jesus, you just had me about to run through a brick wall. My dog ran through the door. I guess she heard of the excitement you just pumped in. Is there so much as being too hyped up for that? I mean, you just really like it is a big game. It's a huge game. You know, be too much?
You can be too hyped as a player, but you have to understand. Whatever you're feeling before you play, save it. Save it. Go to a piece of tranquility where you kind of calm down a little bit. You know what I mean? But my thing is, this is why you come to Florida State. This is why you're here for these type moments. Think about this. We won five games last year. Five games. But how many times were we on national TV last year? Quite a bit.
A lot.
Quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Quite a bit. So we won five games last year, didn't make one bowl. And we got a primetime game this year on Sunday, September the 4th. How many teams in college football can win five games the year before, not make a bowl, and the first major weekend in college football, they on national TV? Florida State can. It means something. So for us, yeah, you don't want to get too hyped, but understand this is the moment. This is the moment. If you want to become a household name, ball out September 4th. Jordan Travis, you want to change the narrative about who you are as a quarterback and how consistent you can be, ball out. I guarantee you instantly, everyone's going to start talking about you. So to answer your question, what needs to happen? Number one, when you're playing in a neutral-like game, neutral-setting game, but it's kind of more home friendly for the opposing team, you want to start fast. It's no different than playing on a true road game. Start fast. Number two, protect the football. Think about what went wrong last year against Notre Dame. And the reason why I'm bringing up Notre Dame so much in this discussion is because, number one, that was a national televised game. Number two, we were playing against a prestigious-like program. Number three, the coach that coached Notre Dame last year is coaching the same team we're playing this year. So he's familiar with Florida State. And everything that I talked about far as number one and number two, it has the same element into this year's ball game. So we start fast, protect the football. Remember, we didn't protect the football last year against Notre Dame. I think we had three interceptions. Hey, Hamilton had two, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it was a third from somebody else, but we didn't protect the football. Think about if we protected the football. Think about the mishaps on the defensive side. The first fourth down opportunity, Notre Dame has a tight end wide open for a touchdown. That's fourth down. We get that stop, our offense is on the football field with all the momentum in our favor. So those are the things that have to happen. You got to start fast when you're on the road. Don't wait for someone to hit you first. It's a fight. We know it's a fight. Swing. Don't sit here and wait for them to swing. It's already a fight. When the bell rings, it's time to start swinging. Protect the football, start fast. Everything else will work itself out.
Well, go ahead, Max.
If they start that season 2-0, they beat Duquesne, they beat LSU, what happens next? Where are they at mentally? I know they have Wake Forest, they have Clemson, they have a bunch of these great teams in the ACC in October. So what happens next for Florida State and where are the players at?
That's a good question, because when we, I like to say when, I don't like to say if, because you leave a piece of space in your mind to question, like, will it happen or will it not happen? So I don't say if or can. When we start 2-0, and you talked about the next few games coming up, that is going to really determine what type of leadership we have on this team. Because Florida State hasn't started 2-0 in a while, if I'm not mistaken. And one of those wins being against a traditional powerhouse, right? When the last time we started 2-0? Anybody remember?
I can pull it up quick.
Yeah, pull that up real quick, and I can finish my statement. But I don't recall the last time we started 2-0.
Well, probably, 16-17. Beat Ole Miss and beat Charleston Southern.
That's the last time we started 2-0.
And followed it with a 63-20 loss to Louisville.
So in 2016, the season of 2016, right?
2016-17, yep. So that'd been September 2016.
That's the last time we started 2-0. We're in 2022, 6 years ago. So I brought that up because it's been such a long time that we've started 2-0. And one of those games, victories, was against a traditional powerhouse. When we start 2-0 this season, we'll see if we have what kind of leadership we have on our team. Because will everybody start patting themselves on the back like the season is over? Because we've done something that we haven't been able to do in a long, long time. We're in it's unfamiliar territory, to say the least. Or will we have the guys on the team that say, you know what? We're just getting started. Keep our foot on the gas. We got Wake Forest next. Don't let it breathe. Don't let people see that was an accident. We're actually not that good. That was kind of similar to what we saw last year against Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
We got down. We fought back. But it was like, oh, we finally showed the world that we can fight. We don't mind getting down and fighting back. But then it was like, well, we lost. And then you remember everyone was talking after that game, like, there's no such thing as a good loss, but that was kind of a good loss because we finally saw Florida State fight back. And then the next week, we lost.
It was a crater.
We didn't have the leadership that we should have, that we needed to have to be able to say, man, listen, man, screw everybody saying it's a good loss. Man, no, be mad. Be pissed off. Take it out on the opponent next week. We didn't do that. So to answer your question, when we start 2-0, we're going to see what type of leadership we have on this team.
So I love the talking indefinites. I love the when we start 2-0. I am curious, though, do you use the same definites when you talk to Patrick Peterson about this game?
No question.
Star Patrick Peterson. So are you guys both going? Are you guys, have a bet on the game? Not, I mean, a personal bet. You know, what are you guys have going?
We got a wager. We got a wager on the game. And we're trying to figure out if our schedule permits that we both can go. Because we plan on going together. If that's the case, matter of fact, I'm gonna text him tonight to see exactly he has any idea about his schedule for that game. Because no question, what do you mean, Florida State LSU in the booth in New Orleans? Come on, man! Like if I can get there, I'm there.
I'm the same as you. Max is at a Florida State now. I went to LSU, so we're the same way. They're dragging. I'm gonna probably head that way with them, and we're trying to figure out a bet ourselves to make sure it's just as good. You keep that same energy with them. Max, you got anything else for him before I go to the NILs?
I guess just what do you see from, as a DB, we talked about it before, but what do you see from this defense? We know a lot about the offense. We know these receivers need to improve. This offensive line definitely needs to improve. But what do you see from these defense? Because that's a lot of the players that get drafted from Florida State.
What I want to see from this defense this year is what I call ant defense. And people were like, what do you mean ant defense? Think about what you see from ants when they see or realize there's a piece of street crumb on the street, like a piece of breadcrumb. They attack it. Give me that ant defense. That breadcrumb is the football. Become an ant. Attack it. Flow. Move fast. Relentless. Play ant defense. When ants get on a piece of street crumb, oh my goodness, it's 1,000 of them coming everywhere. It's always the case. Flow to the football. Because when you flow to the football, good things happen. good things always happen. Defensively, look at Georgia's defense a year ago. Not only did they have outstanding personnel that were guys that were going to play on Sunday, but they were so disciplined and they flowed to the football. You play defense, that's your mind. That's the mentality. We got to float. We got to get there fast. Number two, stop the run. Make teams one-dimensional. Not a lot of teams are playing this spread like football offensively, where they're already trying to gravitate to throwing the football, but let them know they can't run the football. Stop the run and create turnovers. Those are the three things I need to see. Ant like defense, swarm into the football, stop the run, and create turnovers. Those three things. You do those three things, you're going to be all right. Think about some of the best defenses we've seen. Think about in our glory days, 2013 championship team. Number one, we had outstanding personnel. I mean, that makes everything a lot easy when you got guys that are going to play on Sunday, right? But when you got guys that's going to play on Sunday and they're very, very disciplined, and they play with a lot of heart, no question. Numbers going to follow. Look how they flow to the football. Look how they stop opposing offenses' run game. Then they created turnovers. So that's what I need to see from this defense. That's what I need to see for four quarters.
And if I don't want to put you on the spot to name like all these players, but are there maybe three or five players that you think are the most important to make sure that Florida State gets to those eight wins?
Number one, Jordan Travis. Number two, offensive line wise, we got to have, I understand they're still trying to figure out that situation with the starting five, the best starting five. But whoever they are, they got to be hell. They got to be hell. They can't take no prisoners at all. They got to be nasty. They got to love what they do, right? Offensively, lastly, we know I'm okay with the running backs. I don't got to talk about that position because you guys know how I feel about that core group of guys. Wide receiver-wise, it's time for somebody to step up. We got a lot of wide receiver transfers, a lot of guys that have been there for quite some time. Somebody, too, got to step up. We need two guys that are difference makers. When the last time we had a difference maker at the wide receiver position?
Calvin Benjamin.
Rashad Greene.
Yeah.
Benjamin, Kenny Shaw, heck, they all played together. Since then, we haven't had a consistent guy or guys. It's time for wide receiver. Florida State has been known for such a long time for prolific, like, wide receiver play. Andre Cooper's of the world, Kez McCorvey, Wayne Messam, E.G. Green, right? Lavernius Coles, Ron Dugans, Jermaine Stranger, Snoop Menace, Peter Ward, Anquan Boldin, Javon Walker, right? We got to get back to that type skill set. So wide receiver and then transition to defense. I need some Sunday players to stand up and showcase they can play on Sunday. That's what I need to see. If you think you can play on Sunday, which is in the NFL, show up. What's the transfer from the defensive end?
Jared Verse,
right? I need you to be a hellraiser. Fabian, right? Jamie Robinson, Kevin Knowles, who went to my high school, by the way. Shout out to MacArthur Mustang, Kevin Knowles. One of the best to do it in the slot. Dent, Thomas, Jones, man, we got some guys. Right? But when you walk off the bus, hell got to come with you. Facts. Wherever you playing, anytime you walk off the bus, just let them know hell coming with you. And I'm saying that in football terminology, I mean, it's going to be a long day. That's the mindset. You got to make things personal, man. That's what we got to get back to doing. Make things personal. Don't be ready to celebrate everything you do. It's a long road. We celebrated losing a little bit to Notre Dame. Some people was like, wow, that's a good loss. People talking on the next day, man, you saw Florida State? They lost, but they look good, man. No, that tells you where we've been, where people are celebrating a loss. They were happy to see us fight. No, we ain't happy.
Brian McFadden, man, your superstar on the field, and I, you're unbelievable on the microphone. Your media star. I want you in the booth on Sundays, CBS. I'm sure you listen to our pod. Get him in there. I'm gonna hit you with three quick, just rapid fire questions, so I don't waste too much of your time. Focusing on your Florida State time, the funniest teammate you had at Florida State was who?
Ooh. The funniest teammate, I'll say Chris Hope. And God bless the dead. He's no longer here with us. May he rest in peace. Mario Henderson.
What made them funny?
Personality. They always knew how to put a smile on your face. Chris Holt was more of a comedian. He was very, very comical. Mario was just a straight clown. He was just a straight clown. I mean, his personality, the way he talks. I mean, you can never have a dull, serious moment if he's around, because he's going to brighten your day up.
Second one, most serious player on game day. Don't look his way. Don't even go near his locker. Just avoid him at all costs, because he's about to run through somebody.
At Florida State? Yeah. Jerome Carter was pretty serious. JC from Lake City, Florida. He was pretty serious. Played with me in the secondary. Got drafted to the Rams.
Who was the Steelers' name you had come to mind?
Freaking James Harrison.
that checks out. That checks out. The coach that rode you the most.
Mickey Andrews. Yes, sir. The one and only.
Why is that?
He stayed on you. Not just me, but everyone he coached. He demanded the best from us. And one thing he would not tolerate is lack of effort. He would be pissed if you missed a tackle, if you got beat. But if you out there showcasing zero effort, he's not going to tolerate that. Mickey Andrews wanted us to believe we can do the unthinkable. And he had a unique way to talk to our brains. Because he knew if he can get to our brains, everything else from the body standpoint, from the physical standpoint, was going to be easy. But he was one of the few coaches that I've ever came across that their number one priority was talking to your mind, coaching your mind. And he did a great job in doing so. That's why he would always be known to be one of the best to do it.
You certainly are excellent in the mind game. Your motivation and stuff is great. And like I mentioned earlier, you seem to be on the forefront of this NIL NFT thing. What you got going on there with the, I think it's Champions Collective, you said?
No question. I'm with Champions Collective, myself, Brett Lemex, Pensacola native, Florida State guy as well. Something that we came about some months ago, trying to become more creative in this NIL space. So we came up with a game plan to create NIL opportunities through NFTs. NFTs is something that has really been game changing for a lot of different people. But when it comes to sports and athletics, it can definitely be a wonderful experience. So what we decided to do was create a layout game plan of what we want to be involved in and the people we want to work with. And it's only right that we work with Florida State. So currently we have around 10 guys. We may be adding two more to make it 12 that we're currently working with Florida State. Some of the notable names, Fabian, Jamie Robinson, Kevin Knowles, Dent, just to name a few. We got quite a few running backs, backfield guys as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to release a mascot drop. And it's going to be similar to, the horse. But it's going to be very, very unique. It's going to be unique. And what we do is when we release this mascot drops, you know, it's available for all the fans, and the majority of the proceeds go to the student athlete. And that was the first domino. We also work with the University of Maryland as well. We have quite a few NFL guys that we're working with, where we do individualized NFTs for those guys as well. So we've been covering a lot of ground and it's been well received. So most importantly for us, if you rock with Florida State, if you want to continue to support Florida State, when we do our drop, support us, support the players. Because like I said, the majority of the proceeds go to them. And this is a unique way to create relationships when it comes to recruiting certain players. Let them know what we already have in place and how successful it has been. And that helps in recruiting. As you guys have seen, the NIL world is very, very important in recruiting now, not just football, but all student, all athletics throughout college football at that said university. So follow us on social media. Champions Collective is the name. Give us a follow. We will have a YouTube page. We have a podcast as well. We're on 80 different podcast platforms, Apple being the major ones. And we will have some of these student athletes join us weekly. You know, I'm pretty sure when we have when we take care of business against LSU, we're going to have quite a few Seminoles to talk about that game leading up to the next week, and also promoting their brand. Because the thing about these NFTs, these kids own them. So now they become athlete CEOs. You know, I didn't own anything when I was at Florida State. Not a digital image, not anything. But being able to have ownership over something is important, especially during this time in these kids' lives. And they're the CEOs of their NFTs. So when you support the NFT, you support them.
Is that a good way to give them power over their brand? Is there a website as well for them to go to?
Yeah. Yeah. www.championscollective is the website as well. Like I said, we got things rolling. We're starting to get our social media presence is starting to get more intense. We're starting to flood and got big things coming as well. So we're going to continue to tap into the NCAA side of things. And of course, the professional side of things as well. Like I said, we got a few NFL guys that are our brand ambassadors that's willing to work with us. And this is something that we created in April, and we've made a lot of nice connections so far.
Yeah, you definitely seem to be crushing it, really forward thinking and finding ways to give these guys the platforms to be able to manage their brand. And I really appreciate you giving us so much time, Brian. You were awesome. And if you're out there, you're listening, you appreciate everything he just gave us, all the insight he's got, make sure you please go and support that. Support the Champions Collective. Again, the website he mentioned. Go ahead.
Yeah, please support us, because you're not supporting us, you're supporting Florida State. And if you guys rock and roll with Florida State, like I believe you do, give us a shot. Look at what we're doing. Have any questions, shoot us up a question in the DM and we answer it, kind of keep you guys involved. But like I said, be on the lookout for that mascot drop coming very, very soon. You know, after we start touring, that might be a good time to drop it.
And again, be sure to support him, support that. It all goes towards helping our guys on the team as well. He's also the host of the All Things Covered podcast. So I'm sure that's available just about everywhere podcasts are at as well.
No question. Yes, sir. Yeah. We got a YouTube page as well. So if you want to see us and hear us, you can watch us on YouTube. We just had a seminal great on our last episode, Leroy Butler, getting ready to, as he's been enshrined into the Hall of Fame. But he had a great, great opportunity to talk to us about, you know, that entire process. And of course, Florida State Days as well.
Well, check him out everywhere. He seems to be everywhere. CBS Sports as well. Brian, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you joining us. For Brian, Bryant, and Max, that's a wrap.
Go Noles.